bring them out, bring them out, bring them out, bring them out. It's hard to yell when the bat rails in your mouth. Woo!
Ladies and gentlemen, it's time to salute your sport. Welcome to another episode of Salute Your Sports here on KCOU 88.1 FM and KCOU.FM. I'm your host, Chris Mitchell, here with Zach Berman. James Stanley cannot make it here today because I think he's got a job or something more important to do, I believe, for Lincoln football, as their home opener is tonight. So shout out to him. He'll probably kill it as per usual. But in his stead, we got Chuck Ryan. What's happening, Chuck?
Howdy, guys. Glad to be here.
Man, I really wish you could be here on happier terms, but unfortunately, oh boy. For those of you not in the know or who slept under a rock through all of last weekend, Mizzou lost their first game to Wyoming.
Yeah, not a good look.
We're in week two, and we're already in the weeds. Just not the most optimal way to start a season, if you ask me. So we're going to talk a little bit about what went wrong during that Wyoming game, how the Tigers could potentially bounce back, what could happen if they don't, and we're going to talk a little bit about West Virginia, who, I mean, at least for me, seems like the perfect candidate for a bounce-back game.
Or not.
Or not, if you're more of a pessimist like Berman over here. I guess to kick things off, let's start with the final score, which was Wyoming 37, Mizzou 31.
Let's be real. The game was not as close as the final score.
Well, I would say that it's closer than the final score because there's three plays in that game that if they don't happen for Missouri, they win that game.
And all of them are turnovers.
All of them were turnovers. The pick to start the second half from Bryant in the back corner of the end zone, the fumble at the end of the first half, and then
the fumble that was returned for a touchdown.
That's the one I'm talking about. And then there's one more.
That Kelly Bryant, the fumble that Kelly Bryant ran back and saved a touchdown,
but obviously if that doesn't happen, you know.
Yeah, that's at least a 14-point swing.
Yeah.
In Mizzou's favor if things go right, but they didn't. But anyways, let's get into some of these stats real quick. Mizzou, of course, got their bread and butter from passing. Kelly Bryant, on 48 attempts, completed 31 passes for 423 yards, 8.8 yards per pass with one pick. Of course, that one pick being the killer in the end zone. As far as rushing goes for Mizzou, not the most prolific game for Roundtree or Tyler Beatty. Per 42 rushing attempts, they only mustered up 114 total rushing yards, averaging about 2.7 yards per rush, which, yeah, not super great.
And everyone thought that Mizzou was going to come in the season and be able to pound the ball with an exceptional offensive line and two solid backs. But Bryant had to carry majority of the load on offense last weekend. And, you know, he had some great plays, like those first two drives. He hung in the pocket well on that first touchdown, too, danced around, fired a shot. But he couldn't do it all, and he made some mistakes that you would not expect from a senior collegiate quarterback to make.
Yeah, a lot of that I feel like is chalked up to the fact that he hadn't played, you know, actual quarterback snaps in a while. So there's part of that's that, but also, yeah, with someone who is as polished as Kelly Bryant, it is kind of disheartening to see those mental mistakes happen. Nonetheless, I feel like for the most part, the offensive line wasn't too much of a liability for this offense. I think a lot of it had to do with the running backs, of course, being Tyler Beatty and Larry Roundtree, not being able to find those gaps in the line to sort of make those big runs happen. Wyoming did a very good job just keeping the running backs in front of them and sort of containing them for not being able to do too much damage. And we're able to poke the ball out a couple times as well.
Yeah, the offensive line did a good job of knocking Wyoming off the ball, but they couldn't really get up to that second level.
Yeah, outside of that, Mizzou held the ball for like 31 minutes, which is kind of crazy. If you like, I suppose from a bird's eye view, take a look at that. You see, like, the 537 yards of total offense, the 31 minutes of possession, and you think, oh, man, it's probably...
They had two long drives that ended in no points. They were...
I forgot about
that. Weren't they 0 for 3?
in the red zone?
No, they were 3 for 6 or something like that in the red zone. But the fact that you go into the red zone and don't get any points 3 times in a game, not good.
The fact that Wyoming, from 7 minutes and 54 seconds left in the first quarter until halftime, possessed the ball for 27 seconds and they scored 24 points.
The fact that Mizzou lost to Wyoming.
I mean, that's on like a broader scale. But we're here to get into like the chitlins of the whole situation, the meat and the potatoes. And I think a lot of that also has to do with what Wyoming was able to do. Now, Wyoming was not the most prolific passing team last year, and they definitely weren't in this game. Their quarterback only completed 6 passes for 16 attempts for 92 yards. No picks on the night, but what really stuck out for me was the amount of times they were just able to just run the ball down Mizzou's throat.
And Barry Odom, for whatever reason, still would not stack the box. And when they started towards the end of the game, it started to yield some success, but it was just a little too late.
Yeah, 297 yards for Wyoming's rushing attack, averaging 7.1 yards per rush. On 42 attempts. Now, this is a real kicker. Mizzou and Wyoming both had the same number of rushing attempts on the game, but, man, just the volume difference. And I think I want to bring up the box score, too, because that's also particularly damning, because Wyoming had 2 rushers that ran for at least triple-digit yards.
One of them was the quarterback.
That's right.
Who had a really long touchdown at the end of the first quarter, was not touched.
That's right. Sean Chambers, I believe his name is, had 12 carries for 120 yards, 1 touchdown. And the running back, Valade, had 15 carries for 118 yards and 1 touchdown. And you're right. Their longest yards, of course, were 75 and 61 yards, respectively. Which, oh boy, you want to talk about, well, man, talk about not being able to keep the ball in front of you. There were a lot of moments, I feel like, when I was running the tape back, where it just felt like once they got past the linebackers, there was just nothing there to like contain these running backs or this rushing attack in any way, shape, or form, which is not super ideal.
Despite not having the ball thrown to them that much, the secondary was absolutely catastrophic.
Yeah.
DeMarcus Acy getting hurt does not help.
That's true. Him getting hurt did not help. But the way the secondary failed was not in a way that I suppose you would expect on first glance, because they did not get torched through the air. It was in how they got torched via the ground, which also not super ideal by any means, shape, or form. So, aftermath of this game, there were some questions about whether or not
Still are.
About whether or not how Barry Odom and his Tigers were going to bounce back from this game, because I feel like I should also mention this. Mizzou was outscored, I believe, 34-3 in the second and third quarters. Outscored 27-3 in the second quarter. Not too unlike the situation during the Liberty Bowl against Oklahoma State, where the Tigers just sort of let their foot off the gas and the opponent was able to just prey upon that and just go completely to town.
It's been really difficult for Barry Odom coach teams to put out a consistent 60-minute effort in a football game.
Yeah, that's what I've noticed.
They're hitting
too.
All cylinders, and I don't know. I don't want to say this team isn't disciplined or that he's not a good coach, because you know he's gotten this team to a couple bowl games.
He can recruit.
He's building a tradition here, but in game coaching, I mean, he's not the best, and there's definitely some room for improvement there.
Yeah, that's the thing, though, is when I see this team firing on all cylinders, you get something like you get against, like, Florida or something.
Yeah.
Memphis.
Or Memphis, where the offense is just clicking on all cylinders, are able to, you know, prey upon the weaknesses of those defenses, and Mizzou's defense is able to sort of keep the ball in front of them, you know, generate, just havoc in the backfield for their opponent. I guess you could also list Arkansas as another example of that, where they just...
Arkansas is just a punching bag.
I agree, but the way they were able to just absolutely dominate Arkansas was indicative of a team that, I don't know, probably shouldn't lose to Wyoming, or give up like 27 points in one quarter to Wyoming, or give up that many points to Oklahoma State in the span of like 2 or 3 quarters.
Let's look at the grand scheme of things, because I see this as an ultimately damning statement on the team. Fan interest has dropped significantly since the protests. Is not the way to bring fans back.
I feel like this isn't just like a Mizzou thing or like a protest thing. I feel like this is more indicative of like the general air of, I don't know, fans of college football as a whole, because it has been, I think, across the country a lot harder to do, like, I don't know, the traditional, I suppose, like tailgating. It's harder to do that now, like, especially in a place like LSU. I read a story not too long ago about how difficult it is for, I don't know, longtime fans to, you know, get their spots for tailgating or to get their seats. Alongside that, tickets are expensive. It's really expensive to go to a football game. And I think the amount of that stacking up on top of just how easy it is to just watch a game wherever, however you want, whether it be like a streaming device or just at, I don't know, like a bar or something, or at home. A lot of those things are stacking up. And on top of that, the team not really performing up to where they were, I want to say, at the start of their tenure in the SEC. It just stacks up like that in a way that's, it feels like there needs to be, I don't know, if not for, I guess, a systemic change in how you sort of like are able to go see the games, like actually at Faurot Field or adjacent to Faurot Field, there's going to have to be some dramatic spike in how the Tigers perform if they want to, you know, keep the energy going like they had, you know.
Yeah, they'll put more bodies in the stadium if they win games. And you know what? Until they prove that, then why should the fans
Same care? Old.
Yeah, yeah.
And don't this team's going to win some games this year. But.
Especially considering what we saw out of the rest of the conference.
Oh, my God, yeah. that's another thing. Going into this game, I was incredibly nervous because, at least for me, week one was a little bit too lit for my taste, especially after Ole Miss only put up like 10 points against Memphis.
And then whatever happened in Knoxville.
Then whatever happened to Tennessee.
You think it's bad here?
Yeah, and then on top of that, you had, you know, what happened to Purdue losing on a walk-off 63-yarder to Nevada.
By a true freshman.
We got to mention Oregon's collapse, Berman.
No, we don't have to mention Oregon's collapse.
Oh, no, yeah, right.
Boy. For me, going to Mizzou and being an Oregon fan and watching both those games end the way they did in the span of about 20 minutes, is like up there with one of the most painful nights of me being a sports fan ever.
Boy, you want to talk about just like being able to just throw money at your problems and it goes away. Auburn is like top three as far as schools are just like, whatever. It'll just shake out.
Bo Nix.
Oh, Bo Nix.
And what about South Carolina?
Ooh, yeah. South Carolina,
freshman
too.
Freshman losing to return of the Mac.
Yeah, Mac Brown.
Shout out to Terry. We love you. We miss you.
Did you see the end of that game?
Yeah.
That was crazy.
I did not. I was at work.
He needed on fourth down and gave it to him with 2 seconds left. Chance to win the game.
That's a very Wilma's champ maneuver, I feel like.
No, that was what Mac Brown did.
Oh, right.
Very, very stick your chest out kind of move by Mac Brown right there.
Big flex.
Well, the good news is, guess what? Out of those teams we just mentioned that had horrible losses this year, guess who Mizzou gets to play this year?
All of them. That's right, all of them. Now, this could be a double-edged sword.
All of them at home, mind you.
At home. This could be a double-edged sword, I feel like, because I feel like you could either get a team that's just broken down to, like, its soul and its core and does not really care about, I don't know, showing up for Mizzou or whatever, or you could get a team that's just absolutely feral, especially if you're, like, a Tennessee or an Ole Miss who might be, I don't know, 4 or 5 wins like in and just like trying to like be bowl eligible a little bit. So they could get pretty hairy.
The first team that we get to see out of the three that we've mentioned in Columbia this year is South Carolina, who before their trip up to Columbia will be playing the FCS Sunbelt team known as the Alabama Crimson Tide.
Ooh, yeah, that's right. a little unknown Sunbelt team.
Yeah, unknown program. Maybe an upset pick there down the line. Could be a trendy upset. I don't know. I don't expect much.
I feel like that before the North Carolina game, I probably would have had South Carolina being like a trendy upset pick against like a Texas A&M, but against Alabama, no.
Also, Jake Bentley was benched.
True. Didn't he get hurt?
I don't know if he was hurt or benched, but Jake Bentley is not playing this weekend.
I think he got hurt. I think that was the problem.
Speaking of this weekend, got a lot of big week two matchups.
True.
Around the entire country, most notably Clemson A&M, where...
Yeah. I talked a little bit about that on my show. I
feel like most notably?
I feel like if you're
What about the one a few hours later?
Austin. That's also a big one. We'll get to more Mizzou in a moment. We don't have an Ornaz, so we're going to pat us out with a little bit of other stuff around the SEC. Sorry for being so transparent. I feel like if you want to get to Clemson, you're going to have to get them early in their schedule when they're just trying to, like, you know, slowly wake up, try to get their offense together.
Get things rolling.
Yeah, because they dominated most, like, 85% or like 90% of that Georgia Tech game. They just dominated. But that other, like, 10%, there might be something there if you're, like, a team like Texas A&M who just has, like, a gauntlet of a schedule this year and just needs, like, if they could get, like, one upset, that's a success. If you're A&M, if you can get the one up on, like, Clemson or someone like that, then you're golden. So
it's not impossible to go into Death Valley and win. If Nathan Peterman can do it, anybody can do it.
Honestly, though, if
wasn't Nathan Peterman last to do it?
They were the last to do it.
If the Peterman could do it, anyone can do it.
Peter meme.
That's right. And then keeping it in the SEC West, you got LSU playing Texas. Now, I feel like this is a game that 9 times out of 10, Texas should be able to win. I feel like that's been
at home in Austin.
Yeah, I feel like
college game day there for the first time in a decade. Yeah. The last time game day was in Austin was against Mizzou.
Oh, shoot.
Yeah.
What do you know about that? Anyways, I feel like that's been the MO of sort of Tom Herman's tenure as Longhorns coach, is he's able to win those, like,
those big games.
Those big games, like against Oklahoma last year
against Georgia.
But where he sort of, like, I don't know, starts to, like, mail it in is those
against Maryland.
Yeah.
Oklahoma State, TCU, those sort of teams.
Yeah, or like for me right now, like, I'm not worried. If I'm a Texas fan, I'm not worried about LSU so much as I am, like, worried about playing at Baylor later in the year, like, at Baylor. It's just, like, one of those things where.
What about Kansas?
About Kansas? True. That could be
another. Before. It could happen again.
It has happened before. But, yeah, it's one of those things where, I don't know. Tom Herman needs to, like, figure out how to, like, keep that same energy going for all his games. Because I feel like if they're able to keep that energy going throughout the whole schedule and not have to worry about, I don't know, getting upset by some ankle biters in the Big 12, like maybe Iowa State or Texas Tech or anyone like that, then they should have a good, clear path to, I don't know, Big 12 supremacy or something like that. And I think LSU, as long as they're able to keep Joe Burrow upright, he's able to keep, completion percentage above 50%, then they should be fine too. It could be an interesting game. I don't know.
I'll give you my Texas game that scares me more than LSU.
What you got?
Saturday, November 16th, Iowa State.
Ooh, yeah.
In Ames.
That's right. Iowa State stays being like the agent of chaos in the Big 12, I feel
Iowa State.
They pull off a big upset every other year, you know?
Yeah, so I think they're due for one. They were close a couple times last
year. They pulled off one last year.
Did they? Who they beat?
Yeah, they beat West Virginia at home. That was when they were unbeaten.
Oh, true, right.
That was when they wore all black and the halftime show was with the dinosaur thing.
Yeah, but I feel like they're due for something just a little bit bigger on the upset scale. So it'll be interesting to see how that shakes out. When we come back, we're going to keep it in the Big 12, so we're going to talk about West Virginia. Because, the Mountaineers going through a little bit of a rebuild period, so it'll be interesting to see where they're at this Saturday as Mizzou takes them on at, like, 11 in the morning, 11:30.
11 a.m. kick, early game.
Ooh, boy. That could also have a factor into it. Anyways, don't go anywhere. We'll be right back with some more Salute Your Sports here on KCOU 88.1 FM and KCOU.FM.
Sweat the technique.
Every Saturday, Cut the Nets will be live from noon to 1 on KCOU 88.1 FM.
Otto Porter's a possibility. Jabari Parker's even a possibility.
Oh, you don't want Jabari Parker.
Tune in to KCOU Sports Saturday to listen to David Kuntz, Zach Berman, and Chuck Ryan talk sports.
Fun fact of the day, number 2. Robert Kraft actually owns like 99% of the city of Foxborough.
Catch Cut the Nets on KCOU 88.1 FM.
Do people care about Evan? I mean, why would the Magic want Evan Turner?
Ranger Station.
I'd like to report a bear hug.
Okay.
I put out my campfire and Smokey Bear hugged me.
So you drowned the fire, you stirred it, drowned it again, and felt that it was cold?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, but he's just letting you know you did good.
Bear hug from Smokey Bear. Status update.
I'm gonna let you go now. There are many ways to start a fire, but one sure way to put it out. Learn how you can do your part at SmokeyBear.com.
Sponsored by the U.S. Forest Service Ad Council and your state forester.
Missouri Tigers football and men's and women's basketball on KCOU 88.1 FM and KCOU Sports is brought to you by El Rancho. Located at 1014 East Broadway, El Rancho provides themselves in serving up fresh and authentic Mexican food. To look at their menu and learn more, go to www.columbiamomexicanfood.com. Thank you, El Rancho, for supporting KCOU 88.1 FM, the student voice of the Missouri Tigers.
Sundays at 9 a.m., it's the weekly walkthrough. Tune in to KCOU 88.1 FM to hear Ethan Salm and Nick Catlin recap everything that happened in the world of sports this week. Start your Sunday off right with the weekly walkthrough. Follow us on Twitter at WeeklyWalkKCOU for updates on the show. And remember to tune in to KCOU 88.1 at 9 a.m. on Sundays.
West Virginia, Blue Ridge Mountain, Shenandoah River. Life is old there, older than the trees, younger than the mountains, growing like a breeze. Country roads, take me home to the place.
Help but do it.
Just a little bit.
Well, before we get into it, of course, hence the music, Mizzou.
Country road.
Missouri Tiger football is back on KCOU as Mizzou looks to rebound against the West Virginia Mountaineers. Pregame starting at 10 a.m. and kickoff is set for 11 a.m. Central Time right here on KCOU 88.1 FM, KCOU.FM, and streaming on the TuneIn app. And KCOU is the student voice of your Missouri Tigers. So let's talk West Virginia.
Let's talk about West Virginia. Thanks for the ad read.
Dana Holgorsen gone.
That's right. Under new management.
Houston. So in his place we got Troy Brown.
That's right.
Neil Brown, who coached at Troy.
There you go. Close. I knew something sounded a little funky there.
That sounds like an actual football coach though. Sounds like someone who coaches in like I don't know the Big Sky.
Isn't that the guy from High School Musical?
That's Troy Bolton, not Troy Brown.
We're getting closer to like an actual thing here. We'll get there. Anyways, so kicking off their own season, West Virginia played James Madison. James Madison, of course, is probably one of the better FCS teams you'll see. Probably like top five. You could probably say top three, and I don't think anyone would disagree with you up there with like your North Dakota States and your UNIs. So for them, they had some issues rushing the ball against James Madison. And by that, I mean per 24 rushing attempts, they had 34 total yards of rushing offense.
Wow.
Averaging 1.4 yards per rush.
I don't care if that's an FCS team. It's still an FCS team. You shouldn't be putting up those numbers against them.
Yeah, there is a certain threshold where it's like, especially for a team like West Virginia.
When it comes down to it, though, they won a game. They were supposed to win by 6, and we lost a game. Missouri.
Don't say we.
Missouri lost a game. They were supposed to win.
I don't know about you.
By 6.
I was tossing some fried chicken somewhere. Anyways, but of course, West Virginia was able to win the turnover battle as they forced 3 turnovers, including 2 fumbles, 1 interception against James Madison to clutch that one out, scoring 10 points in the fourth quarter just to sort of seal the deal. So here we are. Highlights for West Virginia, I'd say Austin Kendall had a pretty okay day.
He's no Will Grier.
But he's definitely, Austin Kendall, an Oklahoma transfer, so he's definitely familiar with a pass-heavy offensive attack, just like their new coach is. Back when he was coaching at Troy. So Kendall, on the day, 42 attempts, 27 completions for 260 yards, averaging 6.2 yards per pass. Austin Kendall, pretty good. That's my take. definitely has room to grow. And, of course, nothing to really write home about for West Virginia's rushing attack. Pettaway, 9 carries for 20 yards. McCoy, 11 carries for 11 yards, so exactly 1 yard per rush. Not super optimal, really. But I feel like this could illustrate a golden opportunity for Mizzou to sort of, I don't want to say fix their run defense, but give them a chance to show everybody that they aren't, like, absolutely complete scrubs.
Yeah, they got ran all over by Wyoming. And look, both these teams need to prove something in this game.
Mizzou a little bit more.
Yeah, Mizzou, I'd say a little bit more, and it's a chance for them to get their first win of the season at home. Coach Odom's definitely had them working hard all week at practice, too, limited distractions, stuff like that, to kind of cancel out the noise because, you know, the program really needs a win here. So,
yeah, aren't they doing the thing where it's Odom was handing out cards that say turnovers equal victories or something to everybody?
Yeah.
Just handing them stuff like that, and doing something like that ended up in how Mizzou was able to beat Florida.
Six turnovers.
So, yeah.
Why doesn't he do that every week?
Yeah. Why doesn't he do that every game? Oh, man. I find myself thinking that a lot regarding Barry Odom and his Tiger football team. Man, I feel like if anybody really needs to have, like, a solid rebound game, it's Larry Rountree, who, of course, got hit by the fumble bug last Saturday. I feel like if he really wants to assert his dominance as the RB1, he's going to have himself a pretty good game just to sort of, you know, create some separation between him and Tyler Beatty. Tyler Beatty, of course, also pretty good running back, at least by my metrics. He'll probably also have to have a good game because, yeah, neither running back had a super good game last Saturday, so they both need to put some more, I don't know, pep in their step if they want to, you know, make the Mizzou rushing attack at least what people thought it was going to be this offseason. Yes. If that makes any sense. Outside of that,
here's a question. Is this game considered must-win territory? I think it is, but I want to hear from you.
I feel like we're getting very, very close to the must-win threshold. If you can't beat West Virginia, though,
I don't want to know what's going to happen on this campus and this radio station if Mizzou loses.
Well, hopefully here at KCOU, we will handle whatever outcome is in a very, you know,
professional
way.
That's right.
But at the same time, we don't need more people holding up fire Barry Odom signs in speaker circle.
Yeah.
maybe we do.
That's pretty extra, though.
Maybe we do need more.
Because if Mizzou loses to West Virginia, we're going to get a blimp next.
Tell me one big game he has won as coach of this program besides that Florida game.
Ooh.
He hasn't. He's 19-20 overall.
I'm trying to
think. The next biggest game, I'd argue, is that Purdue game.
Memphis?
Memphis was bad.
You're supposed to win that game.
Yeah, okay. I'm arguing that Purdue game where David Blau came out of nowhere and turned into...
Turned
into the second coming of Drew Brees plus, like, a sprinkle of, like, Jesus Christ.
I'm going to do a little bit of searching here, see what's up.
Because I'm curious.
Let's see. Lost to South Carolina, Purdue, Auburn.
We don't talk about that South
Kentucky,
Carolina game.
Kentucky, Georgia.
Yeah. And he's consistently lost to superior SEC teams.
UConn, Vandy, Arkansas.
Not named Florida.
My freshman year, they lost to Auburn, like, 56-14.
Ooh, yeah.
Remember that one?
That was a rough one.
That was bad.
I feel like the biggest drubbing in my, like, memory was the LSU game the year before that. Well,
before
it wasn't
my time.
Yeah, a little bit before your time.
Before Berman's time.
Before Berman's time, too. That was pretty ugly.
Well, my first experience...
It was the game against Tennessee in 2016 where they lost, like, 63-37.
Bad Barry Odom games was...
Let's see. There were a couple Arkansas games.
They misplayed the heck out of that Georgia game last year, which they could have won.
Oh, well, let's talk about the Kentucky game last year.
Kentucky game was bad.
No first downs. Okay, my point is, mentioning this, at what point is it enough to where this guy consistently loses big games? He brings in the talent, but he can't produce anything with the talent.
It's kind of like a...
At what point is it enough?
It's a little bit of an inverse Gary Pinkel issue where he's able to take in, like, I don't know, like mid-level talent, try to squeeze something really good out of it, and then something ends up happening.
Here's my proposal.
What you got?
Mizzou should kidnap Felipe Franks and keep him in the locker room so every game he's in the building for, they always play up to expectations.
And Berman, representing KCOU well, prompting kidnapping.
We here at Salute Your Sports do not condone kidnapping by any means, Stretch.
I condone Felipe Franks playing. Extremely scathing sarcasm.
I feel like Felipe Franks should play. I feel like Mizzou's played pretty well against Felipe Franks. So
pretty well, aren't they? 3-0, 2-1?
I'd say 2-1. I'd say like 2-0. Was he a starter in 2016? I can't remember. Anyways, Felipe Franks, I'm a fan of him playing against Mizzou. Mizzou's been able to, you know, contain him well. Now, I feel like if Mizzou can't come away with a win against, like, I don't know, a reeling South Carolina or an Ole Miss, then you probably have to be like, yeah, I think time
or
might be up.
Somehow lose to SEMO.
Hey, man, you never know, man. Berman, you weren't there for that Missouri State game, were you?
I was.
I wasn't there for that Missouri State game. I know that Barry Odom's first year, he lost on homecoming to the Blue Raiders of Middle Tennessee State.
That was a fun one, too, but for very different, depressing reasons. But, yeah.
All I'm saying is that Barry Odom, his career as the head coach at the University of Missouri is almost a mirror image of Charlie Strong's at the University of Texas.
See, I was going to...
But they didn't even give Strong this much time.
I was gonna,
Texas.
Yeah, I was going to say...
Texas
I crunched the numbers,
back,
and in a vacuum, if you take a look at the win-loss ratios between early Barry Odom and early Gary Pinkel, they're kind of on the same wavelength. It's just the problem is, like, the win qualities just, like, do not match up, really. Which is unfortunate. And I was listening to a podcast the other day talking about the Mizzou-Wyoming game, and they illustrated a couple of problems, and they were like, it's major, the two problems. And I was like, I agree. And the two problems were, one, Mizzou definitely had the talent advantage over Wyoming and just did not exert it through all four quarters like any other team would. Or there's the other problem, which I feel like is the darkest timeline, is that Mizzou's like caliber of talent is on par with that of Wyoming, I don't think that's the case. I don't think it's the case either, but oh boy. A loss against West Virginia would not do that take any favors, or that analysis any favors, I feel like.
Here's my bigger issue at hand. People are calling for Barry Odom's head. I get it, it's week one. I get it, this season had a lot of expectations. And
I've been
losing
calling
to
for
Wyoming
for 2 years.
Losing to Wyoming does that no favors. Who do you replace Barry Odom with if you sack him?
Anyone.
Anyone? There are steps down from Barry
Odom.
You,
Berman. You.
I'll be the coach.
Greg Schiano.
I'm good. Let's see.
Harbaugh, lure him away.
That'd be fun.
David Shaw.
Throw every dollar to this school's name at Urban Meyer and try and get him out.
No, that's not true.
This school would not go after Urban Meyer.
Well, knowing this school's history with NCAA sanctions, Mizzou would end up paying the price for everything he's done at Ohio State.
What's Chip Kelly up to when he inevitably flops at UCLA?
We're not taking Chip Kelly. I'm an Oregon fan. I do not want to see Chip Kelly in Columbia.
Okay, that's fair.
Well, I didn't know you had the... ultimate say in this. You didn't know you were the athletic director.
You think Barry Odom is bad in big games? You put any camera bigger than the Pac-12 network on Chip Kelly and he crumbles.
Well, at least he got to a national championship game. Don't think that's written in the stars for Barry Odom anytime soon.
Barry Odom also doesn't have Nike out of the palm of his hand.
To be fair, I think you can say that about a lot of teams in the SEC East or West.
That's true.
It's very top heavy. The SEC is. I don't know if you knew this, readers at home. It's very top heavy here at the SEC. Anyways, someone was pointing to the fact that there was also a similar situation where Mizzou lost a gimme game against Indiana in 2014, and that ended up in Mizzou finishing the season 11-3. Everyone talks about how good that season was. I agree. It was a pretty fun season, pretty solid season. But there are a couple of things that need to happen for that to sort of come to fruition.
There wasn't a powerhouse in the SEC East like there is now.
On top of that, if this Mizzou defense can conjure up players on the level of like Marcus Golden, Kentrell Brothers, Shane Ray, Charles Harris, you know, you see where I'm getting at here? Yeah. Josh Augusta, you know.
Actual NFL talent.
Michael Scherer, Braylon Webb, Kenya Dennis, Harold Brantley, Ian Simon, Deron Singleton, Lucas Vincent.
We get it. Mizzou's defense isn't that good.
I'm just saying these are the things that need to sort of happen. Well, okay. Actually, I'm going to flip that around. They don't need to be on the level of these guys per se because I feel like the schedule does not require them to have talent of this caliber to end with a 10-2 or 11-whatever record. But I think the schedule does demand that this defense tries to do something about turnovers. At the very least. Because one thing, I'm looking at this stat sheet from College Reference right now. One thing that's really sort of catching my eye right now is just the sheer amount of like forced fumbles and sacks that were on some of these guys. Kentrell Brothers had 3 forced fumbles. Michael Scherer had 1. Marcus Golden had 3. Shane Ray had 3. On top of that, Shane Ray had like 14.5 sacks. That was a monster year for Shane Ray. Now I'm thinking about it. Oh boy.
Where's Shane Ray right now?
Oh, I miss Shane Ray. He got cut from the Ravens just recently. As far as I know. Marcus Golden had himself 8 sacks. So
Marcus Golden's playing for my boys now.
True. The Giants, right?
Yeah.
Your boys?
The boys.
The boys.
G-Men, baby.
You know, G-Men actually is short for Gettleman.
That's not true. I don't think that was in the paperwork.
I don't back think when, it was either.
Whatever coined it. And then, of course, that was also the year that Matty Mock was quarterback. And of course,
Matty Ice, the original Matty Ice.
And of course, you can only get so far with Matty Mock as your quarterback. But
Mock, as Yolanda Kumar likes to call him.
True, but the general gist is there has to be some sort of spike in quality from at least the defense if they want to prove that they are actually worth their salt.
Wasn't Barry Odom brought in as a defensive coach?
I think it was the linebackers coach.
Yeah, he played linebacker here, and then he was the linebackers coach, then the coordinator under Pinkel, and now he's obviously the head coach. Odom's been able to bring in great offensive coaching, you know, with the hiring of Derek Dooley, former Cowboys receivers coach, and then before that, he was the head coach of Tennessee. Great offensive mind, worked well with the offense, done a lot of creative things. I think he's adapted well from having to switch from Drew Locke to Kelly Bryant now.
Yeah, I think a lot of that has to do with how more adept he is at, like, running a pro-style offense or play calling for a pro-style. I think that also Kelly Bryant himself also pretty, you know, used to a pro-style offense.
Yeah, so Odom's been able to get guys in the facility that can coach up the offense, and that's great. But on the side of the ball where he claims to be an expert and where he played and, you know, where he's more knowledgeable, we can't produce results. They cannot produce results.
Yeah, they're playing with a lot, like, I don't know, more subdued intensity than
you can see how flat they look, man. Just watching that Wyoming game, when they're first shown a little adversity, they just looked like they were all given up, you know?
Yeah, it's really strange.
And I know you can't quantify all this stuff with the numbers, but I am a big believer that, you know, the mental aspects of sports plays just as big of a part of it.
Domes, you know? Man.
Yeah, brains.
It's all about the domes.
Heads.
You're not wrong.
Yeah.
You can see it sometimes. Like, you could, you know, it all starts with the coach. He looked just as shell-shocked as his players.
I think a lot, yeah.
He expected to go up 14-0 and for Wyoming to just keel over and die, and they didn't do that, and they punched back.
One of the announcers said 14-point lead is the scariest lead in football.
Yeah.
Or was he right?
I feel like someone said this. Was it Gary Pinkel where it's like, if you win, it's because of your players, and if you lose, it's because of your coach?
Yeah, that's, I mean, and to be fair, you know, the coaches always get more blame than they should, but at one point for me, enough is enough.
Yeah.
You know?
Man, it's...
losing to Wyoming is pushing that.
It's pushing
the envelope.
This is an awkward one, though, too, because of just in the way that Mizzou lost. A lot of the... Yeah, of course, because, you know, 200, almost like 300 yards rushing allowed by the Mizzou defense, but also just a lot of, like, just mental mistakes or, I guess, fluke things happening, of course, with, like, turnovers.
But how many times is it a fluke before it just becomes normal?
Yeah, I guess a lot of that has to do with, like, I don't know, getting your boys to focus and not turn the ball over.
Here's the fact of the matter. It's not good that we're having to have this conversation week one.
No,
I was
it is
expecting
not.
To come in. I literally was making my notes for Salute Your Sports last week when I was at the Duke Bama game in Atlanta, and I said, and I put down, how do you move forward after beating Wyoming?
So you're the reason we lost.
Yeah, you jinxed it. How dare you?
I think every player in that locker room was thinking the exact same thing.
Can't get ahead of yourself.
And you know very well, and this starts at the coaching and goes down, that they overlooked the Cowboys, and at the end of the day, you're not going to be overlooking them anymore when they storm the field on you.
Let's be real. Leading up to week one, what do you think the coaching staff was preaching all week? Get ready for Wyoming. Wyoming. We got to prepare for Wyoming. Or, you know, just
get ready for South
get ready
Carolina.
For the season. Get, you know, we need you guys to be ready for SEC football. We need you guys to be ready to play everybody. You know, it's take it one week at a time. You got to focus on your opponent first before you can focus on the more challenging ones later on.
Yeah, I feel
you
like
gotta focus the one at hand,
like the altitude.
That did probably we were probably
beet juice, beet juice, beet juice, beet juice. Just drink it all. Is
then
that
again,
what they were doing?
I don't think, yeah, they were doing that. But then again, that didn't, well, the altitude wasn't an issue for every other Power 5 team that's come to Laramie.
But it
2 years
be
ago.
It can be an issue because you get tired. The players,
yeah.
Missouri's players definitely probably were, you know, a little bit more exhausted because they're not used to that altitude.
But
it's the
again,
highest stadium in the country.
Oregon, 2 years ago, bad Oregon team. Willie Taggart went to Laramie, destroyed Wyoming.
Also, I feel like
a less talented team than what Mizzou has put out.
I feel like we can't undersell how really good of a coach Craig Bohl is for being able to game plan for a Mizzou team like this, who, you know, coming out with a lot of, you know, pep in their step, chip on their shoulder, things of that nature, and was able to, you know, craft a pretty solid game plan.
Craig Bohl is also has got quite the championship pedigree.
True? Man, you want to talk about people who I want to see replace Barry Odom? Hit up Craig Bohl. Hit him up to Craig Bohl. That'd be a really fun team. At least it'd be more, I guess, aggressive on defense, if nothing else. But anyways, I guess it just goes to show how if you, I don't know, do your homework on your opponent, you know, get your game plan right, and you're able to execute at least a comparable level, or at least an adequate level, then you have a very good shot at beating a team that, on at least on paper, talent-wise, is better than you. And so what it comes down to now is, I don't know, is Mizzou able to just, you know, do the bare basics and beat a West Virginia team that probably isn't going to be that great this year in the first place? I think they will. I think this should be a game where might start out a little bit hairy, but I feel like at the end of the day, Mizzou's going to figure out that, hey, man, we can just, you know, pass the ball all over West Virginia, although their secondary, pretty solid. But, again, it's a Big 12 defense. Not too much to write home about.
What happens if you don't?
Shoot. I guess we can have that conversation if they lose, but for now, I'll say, let's see what happens after South Carolina.
Hopefully.
Yeah.
At this point, let's see what happens after SEMO.
SEMO. Don't worry about that. Don't worry about SEMO. They're not even, like, that great in, like, the FCS or as a mid-major. I feel like put a pin in it till South Carolina and see where South Carolina's at and where this team is at. And if they beat South Carolina, maybe keep the pin in the grenade for a little bit longer until, you know, we get to, like, your Kentuckys and your Vanderbilts, other teams that are probably on a downward trend, at least as of late, and see where that ends up. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I know what you mean.
So, yeah, basically just take it one game at a time is what I'm trying to say. And I feel like if Mizzou's just able to focus on West Virginia, it should be a good time. I don't have a final score off the top of my head because, golly, I really don't know what to expect. I'm thinking somewhere like 35-17 for advantage Mizzou?
That sounds about right.
I think 35-24. I think it's going to be a little bit closer than you.
Yeah, I feel like that too. If for garbage time. Yeah, I feel like that's where West Virginia is going to make either like most of their bread and butter, either via like, you know, early touchdowns just to try to get Mizzou off kilter early, or in like, you know, those garbage time touchdown situations where Mizzou's already got 35 and you got like 14, so you might as well just like run it up because they're already game planning for SEMO or something like that. Anyways, just like that, we are going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to do our statements of the week, and after that, we're going to kick it over to the Pulse. This is Chris Mitchell here on Salute Your Sports. Do not go anywhere. We will be right back.
Every Thursday morning at 8 a.m., KCOU 88.1 FM is the place to be. Make the most of your morning commute by tuning into The Cast, the Colton Anderson Sports Talk with me, Colton Anderson. Together with my partner in crime, David Koons, we break down the week in sports with original angles and opinions you won't find anywhere else. There's no other place to be on Thursday mornings than The Cast, the Colton Anderson Sports Talk with David Koons on KCOU.FM, KCOU on the TuneIn app, and, of course, 88.1 FM, KCOU, Columbia.
Do you like helping people? Do you think that sexual health education is important at Mizzou? Do you want to grow as an individual?
Yeah, Lisa, that's definitely me.
You need to apply to Sexual Health Advocate Peer Education, SHAPE. SHAPE is saving the world one barrier method at a time. Their peer educators give presentations all over campus in the Columbia area on topics ranging from abstinence and healthy relationships to anatomy, STIs, and barrier methods.
How do I apply?
Just Google SHAPE Mizzou. You can go to studenthealth.missouri.edu and apply online.
Wow, thank you so much, Lisa. I want to be a SHAPE peer.
Whether it be t-shirts for your charity event or jerseys for your intramural team, let One-to-One Print Shop handle your custom apparel needs. Need some inspiration in crafting a logo or design? Follow them on Facebook and Instagram at One-to-One Print Shop and check out some of their latest work. Or check out their website at onetoonprintshop.com. That's O-N-E-T-O-O-N-E printshop.com. One-to-One Print Shop is the place to get custom apparel in Columbia.
Welcome back here to this last block of Salute Your Sports. I'm Chris Mitchell, your host, working the boards too, here with Zach Berman, Chuck Ryan. And before we get into our segments of the week, I want to talk about Sports Saturday. Don't forget, every Saturday of this fall is a KCOU Sports Saturday. Listen to your favorite KCOU sports shows every Saturday, all day long. Catch shows like No Huddle, Mizzou football, basketball, and more every Saturday. It's not just Saturday, it's KCOU Sports Saturday. Every Sports Saturday, we got some pretty solid lineups of shows. At least shows I've been, like, peppering around the week. Don't have a chance to get them on, like, the regular time. Check out Sports Saturday. That's a really good time to check them out. I might do a Sports Saturday show at some point. Salute Your Sports might also do a Sports Saturday at some point.
Ooh.
Yeah, might keep tabs on that just in case. Wink. Anyways, beyond that, it is time for Statement of the Week. So, I'm going to kick it off over to our guest, Chuck Ryan. What you got?
I think Antonio Brown is not going to play a single game for the Oakland Raiders.
Oh, you think so?
I actually think you're very right on that.
So after the whole helmet saga finally came to an end and he said, you know what, whatever, I'll play, I'll wear the helmet. He posts something on Instagram, some graphic, I don't even know what it was, tags the Raiders, tags Mike Mayock, and just basically, you know, insults them or whatever. What do you know the details of it, Berman?
I don't know the details of the paper. I know the details of what happened at practice yesterday.
So what happened? Yeah, then this happened at practice.
There was a near physical altercation. Antonio Brown said several things to Mike Mayock that I cannot repeat on air for FCC purposes. Also threatened to hit him and spike a football into his face.
Yeah,
Antonio Brown was also held back by none other than Vontaze Burfict,
who may not be the catalyst for this whole situation.
And meanwhile, AB proceeded to unfollow the Raiders on Instagram and unfollow Derek Carr,
his
quarterback. Ooh, boy.
That's spicy. I didn't know that part.
So, yeah, they're going to either suspend him. Why? They might as well try and trade him and get some draft capital back, you know?
Man, that's like...
They're going to get a seventh rounder for
that's
this.
Like 15.
Oh, you don't think a team would still give up a first rounder for him?
Man, but that's also like 15 mil in cap space, though.
Pittsburgh did not give up
that's
a...
That's true.
Pittsburgh only gave him up a third and a fifth. And that was before this.
But yeah, 15 mil is a lot, though, to take on. I don't know. It could get spicy.
It's a sticky situation. Out west, right now.
I'm glad it's happened to the Raiders.
This makes Odell
Beckham
look like Mr. Rogers.
And Odell is just quietly being a good old teammate up in Cleveland.
Yeah.
Doing his thing the right way for arguably the first time in his career. And I'm telling you, he's going to have a big year.
I feel
good
like
for him.
At the end of the man, I wonder how much of, like, at least the Odell stuff was more like just the magnifying glass of New York sports media coverage. I feel like we're going to have to do a retrospective on that when all's said and done, when he's at, like, I don't know, if he keeps playing it more like, I don't know, moderate, you know, sports media towns, more reserved. Anyways, off to you, Berman. What you got?
Well, I wanted to talk about AB, but I'm going to stick in New York because the New York Mets blew a six-run ninth inning lead to the Nationals. How do you do that?
Yeah, I thought the Nationals were like out of the any playoff contention.
Oh no, they're not.
Really?
They can pitch.
Ooh, true. Shout out to Max Scherzer. Shows how much I know about baseball, especially in years where the Royals lose like 100 games.
Well, the man, the myth, the legend, Edluis Diaz.
Ooh, wow.
Oh, that guy?
Yeah, brought in from Seattle. Also, Robinson Cano was in that trade. It might be one of the worst trades in MLB history. And let's just state the facts. You give up a walk-off three-run homer to Kurt Suzuki? Not a power hitter, I'll tell you that much.
I haven't heard the name in a while.
And let me tell you, that ball was not one of those little juice ball homers that you're seeing a lot in the league this year. That ball was absolutely down the middle of the plate and demolished.
Oh, boy.
So I'm sorry, Josh. I don't mean to rub salt in the wound. I don't know why you'd become a Mets fan if you're from Virginia, but I'm sorry, Josh. I love you, but you can't not make fun of this.
The Mets, baby. Love the Mets.
Meet the Mets. Meet the Mets. All right. Chris, finish us off.
I'm just here to talk about how excited I am for the NFL to start again. Of course.
Tonight.
What do you got? Packers or?
Packers, Bears?
Bears.
Give me the Pack, man.
Packers, yeah.
New offense. They're not going to know what to expect.
Defense, pretty solid, I feel
new
like.
New offense, also, you know who's good at shutting down those? Khalil Mack.
Yeah, man, it's really toss-up for me. I like to give home field advantage, like, the opponent team, especially if they're, like, good, especially on defense. But I don't know, man. Rodgers is just, you know, he's that dude. And now he's got
a comeback year for him.
Yeah, I feel like this might be it. Now he's got, like, at least somewhat competent offensive mind, and Matt LaFleur got a different offensive scheme to work with. It could be pretty interesting. Could be very hairy, very entertaining. I am 100% down for that.
You want to hear something bold?
What you got?
It's the boldest thing I'm going to say on air possibly this whole year. Khalil Mack is going to be the first defensive MVP in this league since Lawrence Taylor, and it's going to be this year.
That'd be really fun. I'd be down for a defensive MVP. I thought it was going to be Aaron Donald, either like last year or the year before that.
Khalil Mack is going to transcend into one of the greatest defensive players in NFL history. If he hasn't already this year.
Hey, man, he can do that away from the AFC West all he wants. That's fine with me. Unless he plays for the Chiefs.
Can't wait till he does it against the Cowboys in December. That'll be great.
Wait till he does it against the Giants in November.
Oh, wait. Don't the Chiefs play the Bears? Oh, no.
Yes, they do. It's week 16, so your playoff seeding and all that might be signed, sealed, and delivered by that point.
Yeah, true. Chiefs probably win like 10 or 11 games by then, so that'd be fun. Anyways, I think that'll just about do it for this edition of Salute Your Sports. Thank you so much, Chuck Ryan, for coming in and filling in for James
Stanley. Thanks for having me on, fellas.
Yeah.
Always a good time talking shop with you guys.
Yeah, we'll have to have you on again sometime. So, for everyone here, I'm Chris Mitchell, for Zach Berman, of course, for Chuck Ryan. This has been Salute Your Sports. Don't go anywhere, because we got the polls coming up right after this. I almost said right next. That's not right. Coming up next, you got the polls. Thank you guys so much for tuning in, and we will see you next week.